shell. Girl, you'll set me in my villain. Hold tight, cable fly. Swing it low, swing it high.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by SeatGeek. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick, and we're wrapping up the first week of draft month. Justin, we had a mock draft come out on Monday. We had the quarterback preview come out on Tuesday. We had a J.J. McCarthy film breakdown that came out on Wednesday, if you haven't checked it out. And we're slowing our roll a little bit. We're hitting the running backs and tight ends. We're pairing the two positions together for this episode. Justin, how are you doing?
Yeah, not only... Is this a position of need for the Giants? But it's kind of not a position of need for the Giants, especially when Darren Waller's on the team. If he's on the team, hopefully we have a decision by April 15th.
Yeah, I want to have a conversation about like each position before we get into the players.
Yeah, so not only is this a probably a lower position of need for the Giants, it's also a position kind of in the NFL that maybe you can kind of get by with having not the best of guys, right? But it's also, it doesn't seem to be that much of an exciting tight end and running back draft, right?
No, it really isn't. You know, with the tight ends, you have Brock Bowers, who we're not going to talk about today, Justin, but he is nuts to watch. But there's also like, man, what do you do with him? If you draft him in the top 10, is he going to live up to the expectation? I mean, TJ Hawkinson is the only first round tight end to hit in a while.
Yeah.
And even the team that drafted him even traded him away. So there's like these questions about the tight end position in the first round. It's like, man, why do these guys not play? Now, I think Kyle Pitts has actually been good. He's just had horrible quarterback play. I mean, yeah, I think he had the second highest rookie tight end yards of all time, and that was with Wash Matt Ryan. So I think even though Pitts hasn't lived up to the fantasy football hype, He's a really good tight end. He just can't block, which I think people don't factor in as enough as they can. But Brock Bowers is nuts to watch. But he also seems like if you're a team in the top 15, you're like, hey, he's great. I don't want my team to draft him.
Right.
And we know but like I have him as like the fourth player on my board. Now I haven't watched Joe Alt yet, but like I have him after Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams, Malik Nabers, and then Brock Bowers. Like, watching him is extremely fun to watch, and he just moves at a different level. And he blocks pretty damn well for his size. But the Giants aren't in the Brock Bowers market. At least we don't think so. Wouldn't that be quite a shocker?
That'd be something.
Would be a fun film breakdown to do, even though our fan base would be having a total meltdown. Justin, before we get in to these tight ends, let's talk about some special people or a special person. Rory Buckley.
Oh, yeah.
He has a nice tight end, I've heard. Justin, who are these tight ends?
Well, Rory Buckley, it's funny. So I was at the John Boy Media Jolly Olive trivia event in New York City the other night. And Rory Buckley, and he had a group of buddies. And he's like, oh, you talk of Giants, whatever. And, I eventually, I see his name pop up in the bar tab. And I'm like, that's an awesome name. Like, Rory Buckley is an awesome name. And then we, started talking Giants, sports, whatever, whatever. So, and then he said, I'm going to subscribe to the Patreon. So, welcome, Rory Buckley. There's your moment. You're an awesome dude. You're an awesome guy. It was great to meet you in New York City. You could join Mr. Buckley on patreon.com/talkofgiants. $2 a month plus some other tiers. You get to hang out with us live while we record the shows. Bobby sends you some stickers in the mail, plus there's some shirt raffles. Patreon.com/talkofgiants. Rory Buckley, you're awesome.
Justin, with the tight ends, where are we at with the tight ends? First, it's insane that Darren Waller has not given the Giants a definitive answer, right? Yeah. And it's not just that he has and the media doesn't know, because they've been the ones that have actually been pretty plugged into this from, from like weeks before like the story came out. There was it was known that Darren Waller was contemplating it. And then when the stories came out, he went out and clarified it like on record to media members. So that being said, I don't think Darren Waller changes. I don't think it changes much with the Giants in the tight end spot, because even if he's back, he's only back for one more year. That's essentially a guarantee at this point that I don't think he changes where they are. But we also, with the state of this tight end class, I don't think it's a position that the Giants are going to to be looking to invest big draft capital into.
No, and I'm
going to be shocked if third round would be a little shocking, but in round two, we'd be shocked if they went tight end.
Yeah, and even like, we're going to talk about some of these guys on the board, and they're enticing, but if you look at where they're maybe being mocked, or if you look at where they're at in some media consensus boards, and it's like, well, I don't know if I love you there, because there may be some other good players that are available there, like an offensive lineman, maybe a defensive back, you know, I don't know, maybe a wide receiver, you know, pick your poison. So, yeah, man, the Giants signed two, you know, tight ends in free agency. You know, the guy from the Eagles and the guy from the Broncos, two blocking guys where I feel like even if Waller makes the decision to retire, they could survive with Daniel Bellinger as tight end one and those other guys kind of coming in. And, you know, who knows, they could make some other moves too to add more bodies in the tight end room. So, I mean, they did it in 2022 with a good offense and they got by with Daniel Bellinger as tight end one. And, you know, and we were okay with that at the time. It wasn't great, but if Waller's here, then Waller's going to be here. So the Giants and drafting a tight end this year, it could happen day three, but I'm not really expecting it day one or day two.
Yeah. So let's start it off, Justin, with a type of tight end that I think the Giants would be really intrigued on with. And we also looked at this guy in our way too early draft previews last summer, as well as a couple other guys from this school, and that is Texas tight end Jatavion Sanders, 6'4", 245 pounds. Justin, he's got all the ability in the world. I worry, though, that he is just another really athletic tight end who just doesn't figure it out, right? Like, besides Brock Bowers, he has the biggest ceiling in this class, probably by a good margin, but he just needs a lot of refinement as a receiver. Like, he doesn't fight for leverage, he slows down, and there's really no crispness in his route running. But you see the athleticism where it's like, you could add that stuff, but that doesn't mean that guys are going to do it. And then you see, like, hey, he can stretch the field vertically. He can be a huge yak threat with the ball in his hands. Think about that Alabama game. He's going to go up and make these wild, big, leaping catches. So he has all these great plays and this high ceiling, but I think his route running needs a ton of work, and the fact that he's just a flat-out bad blocker in line. He's like a second-round talent who I have a third-round grade on.
Yeah, you know,
and that's just because of talent.
A couple of the notes that I saw was, you know, he showed improvement in 2023 as a blocker, but he still needs to show more. It's like, well, I'm done. I've retired the phrase willing blocker. And
yeah, talking Giants got rid of that. Willing blocker is no longer a phrase. You can be a competitive blocker. Competitive blocker means you try really hard and you're not good at it.
No. Yeah. And, you know, I am all for showing growth, right? I kind of do like to see, especially some of these younger guys. It's like, oh, maybe 2022 or 2021, you're in college and you're not playing that well, or you still got to figure some stuff out, but then you get better as the years go on, and I'm attracted to that. As a blocker, especially with the size of him, I think he's 245 pounds, not really the biggest guy. You know, okay, I'm glad that you showed improvement in that, but I'm not going to take that as you're going to develop into a really good blocker as a pro. But he is a really good athlete. You know, and some things that he was like number one and number two in of this tight end class, average depth of target. He was number one, 10.2 average separation. He was really good. Number two, yards after catch per reception, and also wide alignment rate and wide alignment percentage out of the top tight ends. He was number one and really good and explosive rate and also deep target rate as well. He had zero drops this year. He is only 21 years old, so he is one. I think he might be the youngest tight end that we're talking about. He's 59th on the media consensus board, so this is going to require, you know, a second round investment. I think he ran the complete route tree at Texas, kind of based on just, you know, some of the numbers that I was looking at. He certainly was not a one trick pony. He only ran vertical routes and he was only successful in that. Ball tracking and contested catches, I also have that as a plus. This is the, you know, Bobby, you started talking comps last episode. I'm only going to do comps if it reminds me of a Giants player. This reminded me of Darren Waller on the Giants. It didn't remind me of Darren Waller on the Raiders, you know, because Darren Waller on the Raiders is just so fast, so explosive, so everything. But I'm watching this guy, I'm like, you know what? Darren Waller on the Giants was not bad this year, but, you know, kind of little, not even clunky, but I don't know, just wasn't what he was on the Raiders. So that's what he ultimately reminded me of this year. He's a team that wants to invest in a good athlete. You got a good one in Jatavion Sanders.
Yeah, I think you mentioned clunky. One of my notes, like, is route running is very clunky, and then the rest of my notes are like breaking down what I mean by that. You know, where it's like too much slow down and hopping into breaks. Burst and crispness out of breaks is lacking. Doesn't work to get leverage or win it back at the stem. Gets rerouted and slowed down by contact. Needs to get a better understanding of finding space. Like, he just needs a ton of work. And this is why this guy got on our radar last summer, Justin, because the Giants traded for Darren Waller. And this is a guy who has like an athletic profile that's similar to that, you know, similar size. And like he has all the build in the world. But again, I watch him and I'm like, dude, we do this every year. There's this really athletic tight end. He makes awesome plays. He can do things that the rest of the tight end class can't do for the most part. And, you know, we're looking 4 years in and that guy's signing, you know, a 1 year, $2.5 million contract to go play for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But he is a hell of a talent, right? So if the NFL sees it like this and he falls, then you may get yourself like a nice talent to work with at the end of the third round. Now, I know the Giants don't have an end of the third round pick, but that's where you get like excited about him. It's kind of like the Jalen Hyatt complex last year where it's like, he's getting talked about in the first round, and that would drive me nuts. And then you get him in the third round, and you're pumped about it.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where that's where I would feel if my team drafted Jatavion Sanders. It would all matter on the draft slot, because if you're drafting him in the second round, I think that's way too big of a risk. And if you draft him in the end of the third round or whatever, or middle of the third round, then it's like, okay, this is a risk, but this is a top talent in Jatavion Sanders.
Yeah, because if you're going to – you know, we've talked about this time and time again with approach to the tight end spot. If you're drafting a tight end in the second round, first round, whatever, you're expecting that guy to be your all-around tight end and be really good and be a number one. And from what you're saying, like, we're talking about how he's a really good athlete, but he still needs work as a receiver. He still needs work as a route runner. So you kind of would want that guy to be better. And even if he needs work in that category, at least give me the blocking. And he just doesn't really give that right now.
Right. All right, Justin, let's talk about not the tight end two from the consensus, which is Jatavion Sanders, but the tight end two, in my opinion, after Brock Bowers. And that's Theo Johnson, tight end out of Penn State. Justin, if there's one position where college players have horrible college production and then bust and then boom in the NFL,
it's Penn State.
Well, just position, it's tight end, right? Oh. Like, that's what you see. You don't see a wide receiver have 400 receiving yards and then become a 1,000-yard guy. You do see it with tight ends, though. And this is the guy I like in this class. I don't know where he's going to go. I think the NFL will draft him high. I actually think he just flat out will be the tight end too in this class when all things are said and done. But let's go through his athletic profile. 6'6", 259 pounds, 33-inch arms. I mean, that's cookie-cutter tight end size. When you're building a tight end in Madden, that's the size you want to put him. 40, 4.57, 39.5-inch vertical jump, 7.153 cone drill, and 4.19 shuttle. Justin, since 1987, where do you think he ranks for tight ends in the relative athletic score?
I thought we weren't doing this.
I want to talk it through, but I just want to ask you. Since 1987.
I mean, it's the combine was crazy for him, so I'll say 12th.
He's ninth all time. Now,
close.
Here's the thing with relative athletic score. It said Daniel Bellinger was the same exact athlete as Travis Kelce. We know that. I also think relative athletic score it just puts way too much of an emphasis on size. Like, he didn't have the fastest 40 time, the fastest three cone drill, the fastest shuttle. He had like the second fastest for the tight end spot. I don't think you can not be the fastest in like any drill, and then like, oh, well, you are the ninth most athletic tight end of all time. I think they overrate size in those athletic profiles. But he is my tight end too in this class. Like, and it's not because he's big and athletic. I watch him and I'm like, this guy can play ball. Like, he can actually route guys up with his athleticism. Like, he makes smooth transitions at full speed. Like, he's diverse at the top of the route, whether it's with tempo, working, you know, foot jabs or head fakes. And then with blocking, he has like legit good blocking technique, like even in pass protection, and he has the ass kicking reps to go with it. Like, this is the guy who, if we look back at this class and be like, man, look at that tight end who went in third or fourth round and now he's an all pro. To me, it would be Theo Johnson, despite the fact that his best receiving season was this last year with 341 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, the draft is all about projecting, and man, is it. You know, I mentioned Penn State when you started, you know, not just the position of tight end, but I mentioned Penn State to start because sometimes it's really freaking frustrating trying to watch guys on Penn State's offense, and especially the skill position guys, and try and project where they should go or what they're going to be in the NFL, because it's so damn boring and there's and it's like bad every single year. I mean, you know, his 2023 production really isn't above average in any kind of metric and area. Out of the top tight ends, he's yards per route run, it's like barely above one. His EPA per route run is like, it's 0.07, which isn't that great. His average depth of target's low, it's 8. So it's not great. But then you look at his combine, and it's the combine stuff, then his, you know, his athleticism stuff that really does stand out, and especially for his size, and he has that prototypical size at tight end for sure. His media consensus ranking is 118. So where do you have him? I guess you haven't done that many players, but like what?
I can tell you whatever I have ranked as a runner as a second round player.
And that's, I think 118 is definitely in the third round, right?
It'd be in the fourth round.
It'd be in the fourth round. So I'm bad. Not a math pod. So definitely Theo Johnson is one of the clear prototypical. This is a projection player. It's right. Don't just look at what he did at Penn State numbers wise, production wise. Look at his size. Look at his athleticism. And then even, I guess you're saying, you know, hey, he's a good blocker. He has that on tape. That's the kind of stuff that can project you to be a good player in the NFL.
I mean, out of every write up that I've done, I have him way higher than the consensus for me. And I really do think the stat, like you watch him, it's like, okay, he should have got the ball here. Should have got the ball here. And he just didn't go that way through Penn State's offense. He looked good at the Senior Bowl when he was down there. Like, he was just a good watch. And it's just like, forget the fact that the ball's not coming his way. Like, he has that cookie cutter size. He has that athleticism. He can block. And oh, guess what? He can also run routes. Like, if he doesn't get like that separation he wants at the stem, he's like good at using push-offs, you know, which tight ends get away with if they're good at it, which he is. You know, he works release as well. He just, like, the main, like, and he's solid in contested catch spots, right? Not his biggest strength right now, but, like, he can also grow into that with his size. You know, 39.5-inch vertical jump. I just think, like, they're, like, my negatives on him are can grow finding the hole in zone and settling, right? So that's a big part of being a great tight end, is like being a safety blanket, finding those spots to sit and get yourself open for. And it's like, he keeps his feet moving through blocks and his move blocker, but there is mental mistakes as a blocker where it's like, oh, you just blocked the wrong assignment and it busted up a run play. So you obviously have to clean those up. But man, I watch him and I'm like, it's like, does anyone else see what they're seeing with this guy? And, you know, I've seen some other bigger, you know, draft heads talk about him a bit. So I really like Theo Johnson. Like, where'd you say he was on the consensus big board?
118.
I'm going to look at Dane Brugger's top 100 to see where he has.
What did you think of him after the catch? Because for him being that type of athlete, and especially having a low average depth of target,
hard to bring down in the yak game is my note on him.
Hard to bring down. I want more. Like, it's very frustrating that he didn't produce well or better at Penn State.
So Brugler has him as his third tight end and number 76 overall. So I guess, you know, that's top of the third. So I guess not super far off from what I have.
And Brugler's the man.
Yeah, I just think this guy's going to be a really good tight end.
Yeah. Like,
it's Brock Bowers is tight end one. And if you ask me, okay, who's going to be the best tight end in this class after that? And to me, it's Theo Johnson. I'm really, like you said, he is like, you look him in the mocks and it's like fourth, fifth round and stuff. And I put him in the mock draft video on Monday because, hey, he's there. And you look at consensus and he's around that range. But that would be the one pick that I made where it's like, yeah, best chance of me being wrong on like the slot, it would be Theo Johnson.
I didn't mention his age. He's 23 years old. Always, you have to mention that when you're when you're a Giants fan and you're looking at draft prospects. I feel like with Joe Shane, you got to mention age. Day three, I don't think it matters as much to Joe Shane your age, but day one and day two, I think it 100% matters.
Yep. All right, Justin, why don't you talk? Actually, you know what? I will talk to you about something, people. I'm going to talk to you about Mando, not Mango, not Woman, though. Mando. Hey there, football fans. Do you hate deflated balls? You know the kind. No matter how hard, or foul balls, you know, you have a foul ball. I'm going to be honest with the listeners. It says, hey there, baseball fans, but we're football fans, right? But you guys still hate foul balls. You know the kind. No matter how hard you scrub them in the shower, they still smell. We'll ditch the soap and step up to the plate. Yeah, it would have been hard for me to ad-lib football into this one. Step up to the plate with Mando Whole Body Deodorant. Developed by a doctor. A real doctor. This game-changing formula is safe for your entire body and knocks out odor like a champ. Mando is made with mandelic acid, which picks off odor at the source, keeping you fresh for up to 72 hours. Mando is available in solid sticks, invisible cream, body wash, cleaning bars, and deodorant wipes for on-the-go use. This stuff is awesome, right? I'm down in Florida. It's a little hotter and stickier than it is up north. You know, it can be, you know, December and it's like that. So I've need Mando, and I'm very glad that they've jumped on board with us. So very, very much appreciative of them. And the people that I love, they appreciate them more because now I don't stink. The whole body deodorant, Mando, is seriously safe to use anywhere in your body. Pits, packages, belly buttons, your cracks, stinky crevices, stomach folds, and your feet. Clinically proven to control odor better than shower with soap. Mando Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. Luckily, I have a discount code to help you get hooked on my favorite smelling whole body deodorant on the market. New customers get $5 off a starter packet with our exclusive code. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack. Use code GIANTS at shopmando.com. shopmando.com. You'll be glad you did. If you forget, if it's like Mando with the, you know, Mando, you know, how about that? It's not Mando, it's Mando. Do.
Mando.
All right, Justin, let's not talk to anybody. Let's talk to each other. Let's talk to the listeners about Ben Sinnott. This is a guy, this is like a fan favorite I've seen in the Giants community. I know Chris Peace is a Kansas State guy, and he really likes him. Ben Sinnott, tight end out of Kansas State, 6'4", 250 pounds. He's really grown as a player from his time as Kansas State. You know, he was a walk-on, you know, added weight, and he kind of came in as a fullback. And I actually watched his 2022 film because it was the first film I had on him before the Senior Bowl, Justin, and I wasn't a fan. And then I went and watched the 2023 film, and I was like, oh, this guy's truly improved. One, he's become more of a true tight end than a fullback. His blocking had gotten a lot better. So he's really improved, and I think he's a guy who, like, shows off some skills, needs some polish, but it's like, hey, I've seen this guy make some serious improvements, so why can't he make more improvements at the next level? So, but he's an H-back who's turned into like a Y, you know, inline flank out tight end, you know, but he's an athlete. Like, he's got above average speed, you know, he's a quick accelerator, right? That pops off the screen, Justin. It's like that start of the snap, he's stretching the defense with the way he's able to accelerate.
And quick is not a word you typically are using when you talk about tight ends. And I think that is the quality and the trait that puts Sinnott separate from everybody else. Where even like, you know, we just talked about how, you know, Jatavion Sanders is a really good athlete. Yeah, but I don't think he's quick. I think, you know, he's a good athlete when you get him in space, and when he gets going, it's not quick at the line. And that's when he gets vertical and he already gets going. Sinnott is quick off the line. And I think that can possibly give him an advantage in the NFL. You mentioned that he's a former walk-on, so hey, you kind of like that adversity. You like seeing that growth. He's going to be 22 when the season starts, so he's not a super old guy. 123rd in the media consensus ranking, so that's very similar to Theo Johnson. Versatile. I have this too. Like his versatility, lining up in the backfield, in line, and out wide. He lines up everywhere,
which is valuable to the New York Giants specifically. Like yes. Having that H back. They didn't get a full. I'm shocked they didn't get Jakob Johnson, but that H back fullback role, which was that was more of his role primarily in his beginning years at Kansas State.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about his quickness, and he also has a pretty good speed as well. So. Yak. I mean, I think this opens up a whole other, whole other avenue for this is a guy that can get yak. Yak, I'm really enticed because you look at his production. He was second in target share among the top tight ends. Yards per route run, EPA per route run, and average depth of target. All top two. Explosive rate, second. Deep target rate, second. Out of all these top guys, and his athleticism and his combine was really impressive too. So, I'm enticed by Sanaa. I didn't think I would be. What was the feeling of him down at the Senior Bowl? Because I really wasn't checked into the tight ends at all. But he was so down hard. There.
Tight end is just a position you're not watching a ton down there, except for in so because when they're doing their one on ones, they're going against linebackers and safeties and wide receivers and corners. It's just a bigger watch, and then O line, D line is a bigger watch. So it's a position that doesn't always get the love down there. Here's the things that he needs to get better at, right? Within his route running, I think there's some good stuff, right? The smooth, quick transitions you talked about. He's shifty and quick. I think he tempos his routes. When he cuts, he bursts out of them, right? There's no slowdown when he gets to it. I think just at the top of the route, right? The stems, work foot jabs, use some stutter at the stem, right? Just to help yourself separate when you're facing better DBs. And then he struggles with physical coverage, right? He can get really slowed down and slowed up. But I think, honestly, he just needs to get stronger, which he has done through his time at Kansas State. Like, I wasn't impressed with his blocking at all in 2022. In 2023, he doesn't have the strength to kick your ass in, like, these base blocks, Justin.
But he plays like a bat out of hell.
But when he gets to when he gets angles and stuff where it's more about technique and moving your feet and stuff, like, he has ass kicking blocks. Like, he's gonna kill you with angles. And then as a move blocker, like, if he gets connected, it's awesome. He's just can whiff often, can be a little over aggressive, like you mentioned, playing like a bat out of hell. So he just needs to get stronger, and I think that will stronger, and then just work at some stuff at the top of the route, and I think he'll improve to a solid player. He's not gonna be a contested catch ball winner type of guy, but he's going to bring value. So I agree with that consensus board. I have him as a fourth rounder.
I'm looking. I love judging players simply by looking at a picture of them, being like, can you add to your frame? Like
the number 34 really makes him look like a fullback.
Well, I'm looking at a picture of him at the combine, and this sounds really weird. I think he needs to add a little bit of weight. Add a little bit of weight.
And he already has, too. So he's going. I think he can add it the right way.
Yeah. And
he hasn't lost speed because of the weight he's added.
It's not just adding weight. It's adding good weight, like I said. So, if one of the concerns is being, this guy can be overpowered by defensive ends in the NFL, well, add some good weight. You'll still have that athleticism with you. And you can possibly be a functioning, maybe even starting tight end in the NFL. I'm not shocked in a couple years from now if Ben Sinnott's developing into that.
Yeah, and he's versatile. You can move him around. You can put him in the backfield. You can flex him out. You can put him in line and more passing stuff early in his career. Like you said, he's got to add strength to play that inline role down the down. You can use him in split zone. So there's a lot of different things you can do with him, and I think he can be a nice piece for a team. All right, last of the tight ends, Justin, before we get into the running backs. This guy is so intriguing to me. And I honestly just put him on the list, Justin, at first. I was like, Iowa. We got to look at tight ends from Iowa. Those are the places that the tight ends come out of. This guy didn't start his career at Iowa, though. He started at Michigan, where he was actually more productive, and that's Eric Aull. 6'4", 252 pounds. Justin, this is a guy who's got a lot of talent, but I could see him falling and falling far. One, lack of production, right? But he's had injuries, right? Yep. Like, he's a Michigan transfer. He tore his ACL this past season. He tore his ACL, I think, in December. And then in 2022, he basically missed the entire season for Michigan with a back injury. There's drop issues, right? Like, I have his drop rate. His career drop rate is 13.8%. And there was one thing that really bothered me about him, and I know this is so stupid before we get into him as a player. He dropped one of the first passes versus Penn State. And Penn State's talking shit to him. And he kind of just head down, walks back to the huddle instead of talking shit back, which is... But I wanted to see a little fire. It's the beginning of the game. Let's bring the juice. But, Justin, this guy's a really good overall athlete. Like, he has the long speed, can stretch defenses. He's, like, very sudden. Like, we talk about quick. Like, he's got sudden movements. And, like, he is a good route runner. Like, he works the wind leverage in different ways. He has smooth transitions in and out of breaks. So he works foot stutter at the stem to break down a DB. You know, I think he can flatten out some stuff in his quick game routes. But, like, he's a yak guy. Like, you get him and yak, he's going to run up the sideline. So I think this is a guy who has a lot of potential, but he could be someone who just drops on, you know, like, I think he can even drop to, like, the very end of the draft because of some of the red flags around him.
Yeah, the only year in which he's played more than 252 snaps is 2021 with Michigan, where he played 484. So that's the red flag, where he's already 23. He'll be 24 by the start of the season. He is 129 on the media consensus board, which is, it's close to Theo Johnson. It's close to Ben Sinan.
That's fine. But with all the other stuff, I don't think he should be there.
Yeah. You know, coming off an ACL and a season-ending injury in 2022 as well, he's only played 10 games over the last 2 years. Bobby, he seems like, I think he's a good athlete. I think he's a decent athlete, but he seems like a jack of all trades, but a master of none at tight end with size and I think H-back potential. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I don't mean that as like a slight. Because you see a lot of tight ends where, oh, you're a really good blocker, but you're a bad athlete, and maybe you don't run routes well. Or, you know, you see a guy like Sanders. Oh, but, you know, you can catch the ball. You're an athlete, but you're not a good blocker. It just seems like he is a jack of all trades, but a master of none. That's what I kind of get the feeling of Eric Ould, that that's what he is. And it's also a really tough eval because he has been hurt and now coming off the ACL.
Yeah, coming off the ACL is big because, like, he can stretch defenses just as much as any other tight end not named Brock Bowers. In this field, you even go back to watch some Michigan stuff, and it's like, hey, they threw the ball to him on a drag, and he just outruns everybody. I see that, and I see, like, actual legitimate route running in his game. And then as a blocker, like, he's below average in line, but he's not horrible. The phrase I used before, competitive blocker. And then as a move blocker, like, he works pretty well. It's just... the injuries, again, a career 13.8% drop rate, which is like a huge red flag, where I just don't know if he's ever going to be someone you can count on in the NFL.
Yeah, his yards per route run is in the 96th percentile, which is fun. You know, hey, limited sample size, but yards per route run is a rate, so that's what you're going off of. Separation rate, 74th percentile, so that's not too bad. So this is certainly a player that is enticing, but the red flags are definitely going to, you know, limit you from taking him, you know, especially on, you know, even day two is way too early.
But if you get to late day three, then I'm like, okay, this is a useful player that we may get late. So I could see him being as like a steal type of guy.
Yeah, just like, not
I,
having
I
th- access.
I think the red flags can, he's the player who I'm watching on day three. Like, where do you even go? Because, like, hey, that's a big risk to take. I know it's a sixth or seventh rounder. He'll probably end up going there. But that's a big risk to take with him.
Yeah, and getting access, you know, the unfortunate thing about sitting here is that, you know, a lot of these teams, it's going to probably be more dependent on the getting access to his medicals and what are you, or what's your body like right now more than the play on the field. That's what's going to decide where he's going to go.
Absolutely. All right, Justin, let's talk about a new position, and that's running back. Man, I want to talk about this class as a whole. I've done 10 write-ups. Now, I haven't done Marshawn Lloyd or Braylon Allen, right? So there's got more guys that I got to do.
Lloyd's the guy from USC, right?
Yeah, we saw him at the Senior Bowl. He looked like a good receiving back. I think I might end up liking him, but I haven't.
I will say about Lloyd, I think he is he may have the highest explosive run rate in this class, and I want to say this about running backs too. The stat that we've seen be the most transferable from the college level to the pro level. Remember, I was banging on the, you know, I was banging on the, you know, table for James Cook to a couple years ago when the Giants were possibly looking at him. You know, the stat that is most transferable is explosive run rate from college to the pros. That year, James Cook was number one in the league. He's turned into a pretty good running back as of right now. So I think Lloyd is one of the more explosive backs in this class. So keep that in mind when you're if you're evaluating running backs from home. That's a kind of like a cheat stat that you can look at to see who's gonna maybe gonna be good or bad in the NFL.
Yeah, and I'm really talking about four on this episode. Like, I like Blake Corum a lot. I think he's one of the few guys who can handle a, he handled a big workload at Michigan. He was fun to watch. We're knocking down. What's the Tennessee guy? I think Jalen Wright. He's another, like you said, he can get explosive plays. He needs a lot of vision. And here's something that's going to be pretty consistent with all of these backs, except for one that we're going to talk about, Justin. One, these guys are not asked to block at all, almost ever. And when they do, most of them just stink at it. Like, these guys just flat out can't block, and then these teams don't ask them to do it. It's very frustrating, but I don't like this running back class. Like, it's hard to find guys who, one, there's no one who is just like, that's a definitive stud. Like, almost any other year, there's guys, even in like a bad class, like where Breece Hall was the number one running back. It's like, okay, but Breece Hall's going to be a stud in the NFL. Even Kenneth Walker, who I don't really love in the NFL, but I'm like, that guy's a good back. You don't have that, and there's a lot of guys who are, hey, this guy fits in gap, this guy fits in zone. There's just not those guys that, man, that you're just like confident. Like, there's things you like about them, but there's not a lot of guys you're just confident this guy's going to be a really good back in the NFL. But there will be some good ones, Justin, so we'll try and talk about them. And the guy that I like the most that I've watched is Trey Benson, the running back out of Florida State. Now, Aaron Wilson, who we have a do not use as a source rule for talking Giants, did say that the Giants are interested in him. That's the only really connection that we've heard to any running back in this class. But he's 6 foot, 216 pounds. He averaged 5.8 yards per carry on 900 yards this last season for FSU, splitting reps. He's a big, bruising running back who just, like, he just doesn't go down easy. And that's the thing I like about him, is like, he's not out here just, you know, playing willy-nilly football. He plays within structure, but he just absorbs blows and keeps his feet churning and, like, has really, like, above average contact bounce. Like, there's just some wild reps where it's like, how did you not go down on this play where you're still out there, like, you know, breaking tackles and churning your feet? So he's the guy out of the ones I've watched, Justin, that I really like in Trey Benson.
Yeah, he's 21. He'll be 22 when the season starts. Consensus best running back in this draft. And the average ranking on the media... What'd you say?
He's the consensus number one in the class?
Yeah, at 64.
Oh, that makes me feel good. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Consensus best running back in this draft. And the average ranking on the media consensus is 64. Fourth in breakaway rate. That's explosive run rate. That's awesome. He a fourth in breakaway rate out of the running backs that are eligible to be drafted this year, and also has a 20%. If you have more than 20% of like all the fits the minimum threshold of carries, that's what I was looking at. He was 18th in missed tackles forced, 24th in yards after contact per attempt. Ran that 4.39 40, so he's nice and fast. Yards per route run, he was pretty good as a receiver too. Second in this class in explosive run rate, at least according to Summer Sports, they have him as number one. PFF has him fourth in breakaway rate. I'll tell you something for Giants podcast, Giants point, that I, you know, watching him run in the open field, Bobby, I was telling you before we recorded, he really prioritizes ball security, where you see him carrying the ball high and tight. So he's fast. And he has these breakaway runs and these big runs, not because he holds that ball out wide and he's really pumping his arms. He holds that ball high and tight. And it reminded me of Tiki Barber towards the end of his career, seeing how he's faster than everybody else. He's splitting people, holds that ball high and tight. Tiki Barber circa 2006. That's what Trey Benson reminds me of. So, yeah. Just 2 seasons of collegiate wear and tear, and he's only hit the 20 carry mark in one game in his career. So I like seeing running backs that are explosive, and they don't have a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, and it's like FSU. He had his carries varied by 3 or 2, in the last 2 seasons, 156 and 154. But you just see him like break tack. Like, he's not like the make you get missed like crazy in the open field guy, even though, he does have some breakaway runs, and he's got that good, long build-up speed. Doesn't have, the best acceleration or burst that you look for, but, he works stiff arms. He's churning his legs. if a crease isn't there, he's going to get skinny and push that pile to get an three or four yards out of it. He's just not like the quick lateral cuts, you know, make you, you know, juke you out in the open field. He's very much like get upfield, you know, keep stay strong, absorb contact, and then when you, like you said, when you play like that, you're going to get yourself out in the open field, and that's when the long build-up speed comes into play. And he had a couple, you know, breakaway runs versus Miami in a game I watched. So he has that ability. So Trey Benson is definitely out of the guy. I haven't watched Marshawn Lloyd. I haven't watched Braylon Allen. But out of the 10 guys that I watch, he's my favorite.
I think you're going to like him more than Braylon Allen. I like Braylon Allen. He's just a different type of running back. Did you talk about, the one note that I didn't really mention is I have a lack of vision leads to indecisiveness and time spent behind the line of scrimmage with wasted steps. Did you see anything like that? Because I thought, you know, it's great to, you know, get the big run and to get down there and to have the speed, but, you know, also most of your carries are going to be 10-plus yard runs, right?
Yeah, I have vision isn't great as one of my notes, and I don't think he would fit well. I have vision isn't great as one of my notes with him. But he's just, you know, he's not the biggest guy, 6'2", 216, but he plays and looks big. I think he lost weight for the combine, honestly.
Yeah.
Because he looks way bigger than 216 on film. All right, Justin, let's talk about someone who is pretty damn big, and that is Notre Dame's running back, Audric Estime, 5'11", 221 pounds.
I think it's Estime.
Estime. I have estimated that his name is wrong. My man had over 1,300 rushing yards and 18 touchdowns last year for Notre Dame. Another guy who is just a big, bruising running back who plays behind his pads, right? But he just doesn't have the athleticism to go to that. Like, I think he ran a 4.71 40, and it shows up on field. He has below average speed and bursts, slow lateral movement. And he's actually, his athleticism worries to me, where it's like, hey, if you're leaving the backside unblocked, like, you got to be careful with him, because he'll get tackles for a loss if someone's screaming off the backside, and that happened a lot. But another guy who just in the hole is just going to bounce off of weak tackle attempts. But I do think, like, the main thing to go with him is he's not just big; he's got really good vision. You know, like, there's AJ Dillon, who's really big and strong, got horrible vision. I think with Estime, what you like about him is, like, he's got really good vision to go with some of that bruising, and I think that's always going to find a role in the NFL.
Yeah. He's 20 years old, so he's really, really young. Media consensus ranking is 110. He was 5th in yards after contact per 10th, 19th in breakaway. You also see a really good balance between running inside, running in the A-gap, and then also, you know, the runs that he got, the C-gap, and then outside the tackles when he was at Notre Dame as well. His feet always stay churning. That is something that I love. He's never given up on a play. His feet are churning, and he's, you know, trying to get those yards after contact. Even before he goes down.
Churns his feet with defender wrapped up and doesn't go down.
Yeah. Now, it's kind of funny that his yards after contact numbers aren't, or no, I no, I said he's 5th in yards after contact per attempt. Never mind. My biggest note on Estime, you mentioned his vision, and I think his vision and his confidence is the most important element whether he's going to be a good NFL player or not. He needs to play with confidence and a restlessness and a relentlessness at the next level. I think he can have a good career if he does that, but if he isn't confident in his vision, and if he isn't confident in his processing, then that power, balance, and grit won't be worth it, because I don't think he has the explosiveness to be successful without it. He's a pretty well-rounded athlete at the combine besides his 40, but I just don't, if he's hesitating and he's spending a good amount of time behind the line of scrimmage, you mentioned that there's going to be guys that are going to be coming around the backside that will have free reign, tackle him, and then you're going to have a lot of no gains or even tackles for loss, and that's not good. Play with confidence, play with relentlessness, put your shoulder down. You're going to have to be a guy in the NFL that gets 4.5 yards per carry, which is good. It's awesome, but I think that's the type of career he's going to have.
Yeah, and he is patient behind the line. I think he almost always makes the correct read, but he doesn't have the burst to where, you know, once that patience goes, now you got to go, so he's got to have that burst. Here's the other thing I talked about in the beginning. excellent blocker. One guy who can just go out there and fucking block. It is Audric Estime. So,
and he has the size to do it. So
yeah. So big back. We didn't talk about this at the beginning. Where are you viewing like the Giants' running back position going into the draft? Like I don't feel the need to come out of it with one. Obviously, Devin Singletary is RB1 right now. I would like to see Eric Gray get some sort of shot, but like we're not expecting them to come away with one on day two. And you would be looking, and then they only have three picks on day three, even though the Giants very well could try and add some throughout the draft.
Yeah,
but if you're just looking at it with six picks, running back is nowhere near my priority. If there's one in the fifth round I really like, I'm taking him, but it's not a priority for me.
I would want a different back. I'm a guy that I like running backs that are going to give you a little bit of change of pace. So, like the Estimes of the world and some of these guys that maybe are a little bit bigger, I don't know if I want them, but I feel like the Giants running back room needs speed, you know, because Gray's the bigger back. Singletary's a little bit more of a gritty guy himself. I want a guy that's going to give you speed and explosiveness. If that's where we're going to go, I want the change of pace, and that's the kind of guy that I would want to add to the room.
All right, well, let's talk about Bucky Irving then, running back out of Oregon, 5'9", 192 pounds, so a smaller back. He didn't run a good 40, but the man is fat. Like, he's more of a scat back. You said change of pace. Like, you know, my description is small scat back who brings change of pace value. Had over 1,000 yards in back-to-back seasons for Oregon. Like, he is the guy who can create the explosive. I don't know if the numbers back it up, but he's the guy who can create explosive plays. Like, he's got good long speed to pull away from defenders. So you saw that in the screen game a little bit too, I believe. Quickness to make guys miss in the open field. He has the burst to get to the corner when it's there. You know, it's just in between the tackles, he's not really reading much. Like, he's just kind of getting downhill fast, and he's easy to bring down when guys get their hands on him. Like, there's some reps where it's like, man, he just got destroyed by this defensive lineman who just shed the block at the last second. But again, wasn't asked to block, and when he wasn't good at it. Even like little stuff, like he doesn't carry out his fakes. Like, carry out your damn fakes, dude. Like, he just kind of does the fake handoff and then just sits there. But he's someone who, even though the combine testing wasn't great, I think is a really athletic, make you miss type of guy.
He was eighth in yards after contact per attempt in this draft class. Fourth in missed tackles forced. He was eighth in 10 plus yard runs. He has all these big plays on film, Bobby. You know, 5% explosive run rate, according to Summer Sports. I don't know, man. I don't think he's fast, though. I think he's college fast. I don't know if he's NFL fast. What do you think about that?
I know the 40 time isn't good, but we're talking, he doesn't have the long legs that other guys can take advantage of.
I watched him before I saw the 40. So I'm even taking this to a comparison, and, you know, Lance Zierlein, you know, it's a guy that we respect, and he does a lot of stuff on NFL.com. Compared him to Damian Pierce, which, you know, for the type of numbers that he's putting up, I would say
that's a weird comparison.
Yards after contact per attempt, missed tackles forced. Yeah, that's where I guess he could see it, but you know what? You know, you turn on the highlights. You see the big plays and you see the cuts. I think that's the stuff that's going to transfer over to the NFL after contact, missed tackles forced, the cuts that he can give, and then that can lead to big stuff. But I don't know if he's going to be beating guys because of his long speed. I guess that's the point. And he's 21 years old, so he's
yeah. I just watch him, you know, pull away from defenders whenever he did have a breakaway chance. Getting to the corner when it's there. And like you said, he does make guys miss. I think a little worry about him is the way he makes guys miss in the open field. Sometimes his cuts are very dramatic, and that will school college players, but NFL players are going to be more disciplined in their tackling. So, and he's not someone who's like, he's not someone who's just like, he can, if you get an arm on him and you're a bigger defender, like he's someone you can bring down. So I'm not in love with Bucky Irving at all. I think he fits the change of pace type of back that you described.
Yeah, I didn't write down his media consensus ranking. I think it's similar.
Some people really, really do like him. I can see him being really good. I just, he's not my cup of tea.
I agree.
Like where he's because he's like looked at as like one of the second or third backs, right? Here, I'm gonna look it up on consensus mock draft. Like I like him, but not as much as other people do. Let's see. What do we got? What do we got?
I think it's this next guy. Yeah, this is the last guy. This next guy, I think I like more than Bucky Irving.
I do too. How do you use this thing? 2024 big boards. Come on, get this ad out of my face.
Come on.
It's not.
Well, speaking of ad. Oh, while you do that, speaking of ad, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ooh, keep you anxious, keep you waiting. How is your social battery right now? It's easy to ignore how you're spreading yourself thin, especially when social gatherings are picking up after the winter, weather's getting warmer. You're going to get together for the NFL draft, right? Well, with the right amount of socializing, what's the right amount for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some time alone. And therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Guess what? It's important for you to take care of, and BetterHelp is here for you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to fit your schedule and what's right for you, and just fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Social battery, I love that phrase. I'm going to start saying it everywhere I go. What's your social battery like? Find your social sweet spot. Visit BetterHelp.com/TalkingGiants today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TalkingGiants. Bobby Skinner, you'll be glad you did. Did you find Bucky Irving's consensus ranking?
Yeah, I guess I thought for some reason I thought the consensus was higher on him. He's RB7, 107th overall.
107th, okay.
So I guess I do agree with the consensus. I thought I saw RB1 like type of like hype for him.
NFL.com has him really, really low. Where they have him ranked, you know how they
compare him to Damian Pierce.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Am I high? No, they have him really low. Like, okay. It's lower than 20.
No, what you're looking at is
the greats.
You're looking at the next gen athleticism score.
No, I'm not. I'm not looking at the next gen athleticism score. It's very strange how low NFL.com has him. So, like, here, Jonathan Brooks from Texas has, like, a 6.38 grade, right? And then Bucky Irving has a 5.87 grade with average backup or special teamer as his summary.
Okay. Let's talk about our final guy of the episode, Justin. I know this guy kills the next-gen grade, and that's Isaac Grendo, running back out of Louisville. Nope, it's Louisville. 6 foot, 221 pounds. Nice size, 4.33 40, 41.5-inch vertical jump, 6.9 43 cone drill, and 4.15 shuttle. I should have looked up his relative athletic score. Why don't you look that up right now, Justin? Just look up Isaac Grendo RAS, and it's going to pop up, and it's going to be amazing. But he did split a lot of times carries at running back. If there's anyone who is just a perfect fit for a wide zone offense, it is Isaac Grendo, because he's got the size, he's fast. And he's a one cut and go type of back, while still like guys just bounce off of him, and it looks like he's not even trying to break the tackles, and guys aren't able to bring him down. He's really good at avoiding like tackles around his feet, but he doesn't like use any type of like moves. Justin, he is as like you Google one cut and go running back. That is Isaac Grendo, because that's what he does. He presses. Gets upfield. I think he does a good job using blockers as shields. And any broken tackle is not by a move. It's by simply guys are just bouncing off of him because of his strength.
Yeah. And his relative athletic score is 9.9. So there you go. That's really good. And hey, do you want to be really impressed? That's 19th out of 1,848 running backs from 1987 to 2024. Whoa, hey, here's what is impressive. Seventh in yards after contact per attempt. I think that's where you really see his strength. Here's where it's not fully impressive. 66th percentile missed tackles forced per attempt. So Bobby's film analysis does back up the numbers. He was 11th in breakaway rate, which is pretty good from this draft class. Media consensus ranking is 133rd, and I like that. I like that it's a little lower than the rest of the guys. Because
he's a diamond in the rough.
Because the lower and the later that he goes, the more excited I am about, hey, if the Giants are on the board, like, oh, I could get behind picking this guy. Never got a ton of run everywhere he went, especially at Wisconsin, was mainly Braylon Allen's like third down back. And the fact that he is 220 pounds and he's running that 4.33, that's where I get really, really excited. It's like, oh, this is projection, this is athleticism, this is stuff that could transfer over to the NFL. And showed maturity and growth in his game in 2023. Apparently, he was more decisive and he was going more north and south after not fully showing that at Wisconsin, basically being that third down back. Louisville, he was the starter. He's a little stiff when he's moving laterally.
Doesn't even move laterally.
No. So I have here, he has the explosiveness, but I want to see more suddenness to his game. And he was also a wide receiver in high school, so he has that background.
I'm proud of you, Justin. One of my notes is doesn't have quick cuts or any suddenness to him.
Yeah. But he's really fast.
Are you accessing my email and looking at my Google Docs, man?
No, you want to know what's crazy? You want to know what's crazy? You know, we're towards the end of the show. I told you, I said I'm not going to put a lot of pressure on myself to like have like these full write-ups this year, and I think this is some of the most who was the guy that we disagreed on?
We disagreed on two guys who didn't even make it in the league. And I think both like had legal troubles, Javian Hawkins and Puka Williams.
Oh no, I'm talking about today. Like I think maybe Theo Johnson and who else did you say?
Bucky Irving and Theo Johnson.
All right, but we had similar notes for basically everybody. So I'm pretty I'm proud of us. Well, we're just it's the
I
more
think
that
we even had similar notes on Theo Johnson too. It's just I like him more.
It's just the more that we talk to each other. We're getting to know each other. That's it.
Getting to know the draft. All right. So next up we'll have edge and D linemen.
I'm
going to put a little more
that.
Focus on D line. I think we have 5 D linemen and 3 edge players. Hey, and the edge guys are top 30 visits, which is what we are calling it, by the way.
I'm calling it 30 visits because Jim, what's his Matt? Fuck.
Jim Nagy. Jim knows you.
Jim Nagy told me to, so that's why I'm calling them 30 visits from now on because that's what football people do, and I'm a football guy. Damn it.
No, they're top 30s. All right, we appreciate you guys. We will see you after this weekend. Are people saying that a Drake May film breakdown could come out on the channel next week? Here's something before we go, because I want to keep this under an hour. I tweeted out Drake May in the morning 2 days in a row, and I was going to do it every day into the draft. And
given up.
I can't do it. One, it's like too gimmicky for me. And then two, it's like, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So just don't even get your hopes up. But Lance Zierlein, who you mentioned, like, you know, had a trade for Giants trade up to pick 3 and get Drake May. Oh my God. Son of a biscuit. Also, every time you bring up the fact that we can't get Drake May, people say they hate Tommy DeVito. If you're going to hate anyone, hate Brian Daboll. He was the one who was able to coach up freaking Tommy DeVito and like put together really good game plans for them to beat these bad teams. So don't hate Tommy DeVito, hate Brian Daboll. But actually, let's love Brian Daboll. All right, we appreciate you guys. We'll see you after this weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Until then, let's go Big Giants.